how you feel.
Yeah.
My mind goes back about almost maybe 20 years ago, perhaps. Actually, a little longer than that, about 23, 4 years ago, my father was asked to preach a rally. And when we were there, we noticed there was a cot that had been laid at front, and actually laid along the platform, a cot. My father, he didn't know what was going on. He thought perhaps there was a skit, a drama, or something in the service. And, of course, and they considered, those that my dad asked that question to, that they considered my father must not have known. And that the elder Brian Wiseman, who had been a missionary for many years in the country of Brazil, was dying of cancer. And he had one mindset, I will never miss church regardless.
Yes.
And I remember seeing him coming to church, and he had one man on one arm, one man on the other. And he was all shriveled up, as he was all gaunt, bent over. And it took everything that he had to shuffle his way with the aid of other ministers to the platform. And there he laid on the cot. And my father said it was the hardest message he ever preached, preaching with a missionary laying beside him. And he would lay there and raise his feeble hand in church. And at times his wife, Sister Joni Wiseman, would give him his morphine to drink throughout the service. That forever transformed my life.
All right.
Amen. And mine goes back to a time when I used to receive migraine headaches. And I know that those of you who have ever experienced a migraine headache, you know it can put you down. I used to miss school when we lived in Missouri because of the migraines I would get. And they, you know, it's like someone had a jackhammer in your head and blowing your brains out. And I remember one time I could have stayed home from church. And no, I want to go to church, because that was just the way I was raised. You go to church.
You just go.
And I went to church, and that Sunday night I had a migraine headache, could hardly move. You can't think. All you've got just is pounding in your head. And in the service, the Holy Ghost began to move, and the Holy Ghost touched me. That was when I was 16 years old, and I remember even after the service, I had to go and just make a mad dash to the back, to the restroom, because the headache just caused me at times to vomit. But during that service, it was while I was sitting at the altar, after we had the Holy Ghost move, when I was 16 years old, that the Lord called me to preach. And would you believe that was the last night I ever had a migraine headache.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. When it comes to the house of God, I love being here.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. It makes a difference.
Yes.
He mentioned, you know, taking care of the offering and ushering.
Thank you,
and
Jesus.
Man, I've done it all. I've ushered, led songs, offerings, and preached all in the same service.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right.
That's part of them. You're in whole missions. You do it all.
You can do
Amen.
It all.
I've been working in church since I was walking, it seemed like. Amen. Going with my dad, the Bible, every time he had a Bible study to teach, he always took me with. Well, am I glad he did. But then when I was old enough to teach a Bible study, I didn't even need a teacher's manual. I just looked at the chart, and everything that my dad taught, I could just see it all right there.
Yeah.
Amen. It pays to being in the church.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory. I'd like to direct your attention to Matthew chapter 16, verse number 13 through 19. Amen. It's a blessing being in God's house.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Regardless of where we are, we're two or three are gathered together in His name. There He is in the midst of them. Amen. This is God's house.
Yes, it is.
Amen. When I went on a few missions trips to Mexico, amen, some of the places we worshiped in didn't look like churches. Just a little one-room building. And no curtains in the windows. I remember one particular time, there was even a market right outside the building, try to compete with the market and all the music and have church. And the kids would peek in through the windows and watch in, stand in the doorways and look. And the offering plate was a paint pan that was passed around. You put your money in it. And
yeah,
guess what? We had church.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Felt the same Holy Ghost there that I feel here. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter. Amen. You can have church anywhere, any place, anytime. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 13. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some said thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And finally in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." Hallelujah, hallelujah. I like the title of this thought, "With the Help of the Lord, the Church Built to Last." The church built to last.
Right.
Hallelujah. Brother Grissom, if you would pray that the Lord would anoint our hearts and anoint these lips of clay tonight. We love
Jesus
you, Jesus.
Christ, we are in your house, in your presence, and we're ready to hear your word. We ask you to speak through the preacher here tonight to our hearts. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit wants to say. Give us courage to obey.
Thank you, Jesus. Everybody say, "Praise the Lord."
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We all remember, amen, just a few months ago on January 12th of 2010. Amen. The earthquake that shook the small nation in the West Indies of Haiti. A catastrophic earthquake with a magnitude of 7.0. The epic center was 16 miles west of Port-au-Prince, Haiti's capital. And they said by the 24th of January, at least 52 aftershocks had measured 4.5 or greater that were recorded. And we all can remember seeing the images, the graphic images of the just a horrific earthquake and the consequences of that burned in our mind, pulling people out of the rubble and just seeing the total devastation, a total collapse, in a sense, of the entire nation of Haiti. They said an estimated 3 million people were affected by this earthquake, and the Haitian government has reported and now it's estimated perhaps 250,000 people lost their lives in that small island nation, and 300,000 people injured, and over 1 million were left homeless. They also estimated over 250,000 residences and 330,000 commercial buildings had collapsed or were severely damaged as a result of this earthquake. We know earthquakes are devastating. It's a unique experience. I remember being in a small tremor once, or experiencing a small tremor once when we lived in Portland, Oregon. It's just a small one. Just basically, it felt like a truck had rumbled down the road by the house. The ground kind of shook and trembled a little bit. Dishes rattled, but nothing of any significant magnitude. You know, many buildings, you see any significant earthquake, the one that we heard about in Chile not too long ago. We see many buildings crumble and fall because they cannot withstand the destructive power of an earthquake. And not to demean the people that die, to be disrespectful, but oftentimes buildings become a pile of twisted steel and lumber because rules were perhaps bent or blueprints were changed, and sometimes cheap materials are even used, and inexperienced workers may perhaps be hired during the construction process. We all know anybody involved with construction understands that the architect of the building that's being constructed, regardless of size, is the most important figure in the building process. In a nutshell, you could say the architect is a building designer, and it's synonymous with the author or the father, the creator, the founder, inventor, maker, and originator of the structure being constructed. An architect will tell you without hesitation that the most important element in any structure is the foundation. We all know that foundations are important. I remember my father telling me at the time when he was, before he was saved, he was working on the sky rises and working on the flying forms, and back in the days before OSHA, he would ride the bucket, the crane would pick the bucket and him with the bucket up and swing him up the 10th floor and drop him off. That was, of course, before the days of OSHA. He'd run across the beams like it's nothing. He's running across the yard. Not me, but that was him. He was fearless. And that's just the way he was. And my father remembered at one particular time that they were building the sky, they were putting the sky rise, they were building the, putting the footings in. And normally, you know, you have to go in, you have to go so many feet depending on how tall the structure was, how many stories, you had to go in so many feet, and you had to, you know, compensate for anything you may find in the soil or whatnot. And he remembers, and on one particular occasion, they had gone down. They didn't really go down that far, nowhere near, well, as far as they would normally go. And they had found bedrock. And of course, they checked it to make sure it was safe. And the foreman said, we don't have to worry about pouring all the concrete. We're just in the rebar. We're just going to just tie it right in to this bedrock. This bedrock's not going anywhere. We're fine, because they had found that bedrock. Amen. You say the foundations are important. The architect is important. We have to make sure that whenever a building is being constructed, that everything is followed according to the blueprint. The blueprint must be followed. Can't change the rules. You can't ignore the blueprint. You can't use cheap materials, inexperienced workers. It must be followed exactly. The crossing of the T, the dotting of the I. Everything plays an important part in the building process. That's the point in having the blueprints. And in preparing for this message, I was doing some research on architects, and I was reading about, the very first architect ever recorded in history. And we read about this architect in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1. Amen. When the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God. Before time, God. Before work began, God. Before day began, God. Amen. What a lesson there for us. Before we start our day, God. Before we get to work, God. Amen. Before we do what we're supposed to do, God. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He just simply had to say, let there be, and there was. Only God and God alone could stand on nothing. speak to nothing and say to nothing. Let it be and create everything out of nothing. Amen. Only God could do that. Only God could speak this world into existence. Amen. You put mankind, or you put men on a project. And sometimes there can be disorganization because each one can have their own different way of doing things. But God created this world alone, all by himself. That's why when man stops and when we consider the universe and we can just look up into the heavens on a clear day, and if you can see various planets, and we see the vastness which cannot be measured by man, we see how delicately this world is perfectly synchronized and intricately balanced. We become as David, who stated, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" Hallelujah. And we see in the New Testament how God, in the fullness of time, robed himself in flesh and took upon himself the form of a servant. He left heaven and came down to lowly earth. He left the heavenlies to come down with a bunch of sinners such as you and I. And we find Jesus, who we know was God, manifest in the flesh. We find him in our text. And he declared to Peter, after Peter obviously received a revelation of who the Lord Jesus Christ was, when Jesus asked him, "Whom do men say that I am?" And they went through the list. Some say you're John the Baptist, some Elijah, some Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But he asked the question, "But whom say ye that I am?" Amen. And what a powerful point to drive home. It's one thing to hear what others say about the Lord. It's one thing to hear the experiences of others. But whom say ye that I am? Yeah, I know what so-and-so thinks of me. I know what that brother said. I know what that preacher has preached. But what do you believe? What do you think? And that's so important. We can't live off the coattails of others. We have to have our own experience with God. You must work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I can't live off my Father's anointing. I can't live off my Father's blessings, but I can live off the anointing that God gives me. And you can live off the anointing that God gives you. Amen. Preachers will come and go. Churches, amen, come and go. Amen. That's why we must work it out for ourself. Whom say ye that I am? And then Peter declares, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus goes on to say, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee." You can't get a revelation of who Jesus is listening to a tape. Amen. Watching a slideshow. Amen. You get a revelation, amen, of Jesus from himself. Hallelujah. You can't get a revelation of who Jesus is from Brother Grissom, Brother Hart, me, or Brother Brandon. But you can get a revelation of who Jesus is from the very throne room of God. Hallelujah. It's not something that can be poured into your thought. It's something that comes from him. Hallelujah. All we can do is whet your appetite. Amen. Introduce you to the one. Step back and let God do the work. Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Hallelujah. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said, "Blessed art thou, Simon, during the flesh, but not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus said, I will build, create from nothing my church, and I will build it to last. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Like that old song says, Jesus is the master builder. He builds his church upon the rock. Hallelujah. He's the master builder. He's the author. He's the finisher. He's the Father. He's the creator, founder, maker, and originator of this apostolic church. The church that the chief architect created, it was built to last. I'm here to say this church is unshakable. Hallelujah. He not only built the church, but the Bible says he also purchased this church. Amen. We see in Acts 20 and 28, feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. You see, this church was not built by man. This church that we're a part of was not built by personality. This church that we're a part of was not put together by a government office. This church that we are a part of is not a church that we can join. This church that we're a part of is not a church you can join as you would join a club, as you would join an institution, as you would join an assembly somewhere. This church, we know it's something that you don't join, but you're born into. We see it in John 3 when Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Amen. You must be born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Lord, he didn't build more than one church. He only built one. Uno. There's only one church. Amen. For by one Spirit are ye all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews, whether we be Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. One Spirit are we all baptized into one body. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Hallelujah. There's only one apostolic church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's only one church that preaches the truth, and that is the apostolic church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's only one church. We know there are five major religious bodies. You got Buddhism, Hinduism, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. But there's only one church. Hallelujah. And the church is separate from all of the above. The church stands alone. The church is built upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We read it in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 20. The church, hallelujah, has a foundation that cannot be shaken, rattled, crumble, fall down, or decay. Hallelujah. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. We'll see the strength and life of this church lies in its foundation. Religious movements built upon human personalities and effort will always crumble in the dust. But the church that Jesus built, the church that the Lord instituted, amen, the church that the Lord said he would build upon the rock, amen, that church that he built will never fall into decay, because the church that he created is a living organism. Hallelujah. It's alive. It's a well. Hallelujah. It's a church that's built upon the apostolic doctrine. Hallelujah. We read it. Built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Amen. We see in Scripture, we know what the apostles preached. And we know if it worked in the book of Acts in the first century, obviously it'll work in this new millennium in the 21st century. This church that we're a part of is built not on their personalities, but it's built on the message that they preached. And it was not a message that they received on their own, but we all know, amen, that the apostles, we all know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The man of God, amen, perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. We all know that Scripture was divinely inspired. They wrote as God inspired. We see through the book of Acts, the book that Luke, Dr. Luke wrote, and he kept such good records of the early church. Amen. When we look through the rest and the remainder of the apostles, amen, we look at the epistles that Peter wrote and the ones that Paul wrote, and we see James and Jude and others, amen, John, who wrote, they left it, they didn't leave it up for a vote. Amen. What apostolic doctrine was to be. It wasn't a matter of opinion, for opinions can change. You can change your opinion, but a conviction is something you'll die for. Amen. These were not opinions, but they were convictions that they had received from the Almighty God. We know one doctrine that was preached and declared throughout the book of Acts was, if you call it doctrine, I can and I will. And I got the microphone. It's unity. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, they're all with one mind and one accord. Amen. In one place. Amen. That sounds to me an awful lot like unity. Hallelujah. You see, they were unified in effort. The Lord had told them to go to Jerusalem and pray and wait until you be endued with power from on high. And they went. Sometimes I wonder how many people initially were in the upper room. We just know of the 120 when the Holy Ghost fell. I've always wondered during the first, during the 10-day prayer run that they had, how many prayed the first day, nothing happened, went home. Second day, a few more left. Third day, a few more left. The fourth day, oh, hasn't happened yet. You must have been lying. And then on it goes until the 10th day, and it's dwindled down to just 120. When you think of all the people he impacted, even John said the books could not contain the miracles that he performed, because he went from synagogue to synagogue, house to house, cleansing lepers, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting devils out, and the list is endless. And yet, we see 120 in the upper room. I'll tell you which 120 were left, the ones that were unified. Amen. Can I tell you what? You get a group of people praying long enough, the disunity will cease. Amen. They'll either get unified or they'll go someplace else. But if you want the Holy Ghost to move in the church, it must be a unified church. The Bible says they all spake the same thing. Amen. Think of that. They all spake the same thing. That's the way the apostolic church should be. Amen. That's the way it's supposed to be, the apostolic church. I remember them days. Amen. It didn't matter what church you attended, what church you went to, a youth rally. If it was just a regular rally, amen, every church preached and taught the same thing. They all preached the same message. You could go and not worry about what you heard. Amen. Now we know that there are some churches that hang apostolic on the sign. Amen. They're so cold, so calloused, and so far removed from the foundation that they're built upon. I can remember a time I went to a church and I wanted to leave, but I couldn't because I had young people there. I told my wife, if it was just you and I, I'd go to the mall. This is crazy. Amen. I don't have to waste my time, and you don't waste mine either. Hallelujah. You see, when God called me to preach, amen, you can do this if you're a new convert. Amen. When the Lord called me to preach, I wanted the Lord to confirm it with His Word. And He led me to Galatians, amen, chapter 1 and verse number 6. I marvel not. This is the Apostle Paul. I marvel that ye are so, that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert. That's Paul talking, pervert. He's calling those that preach another gospel perverts, because technically that's really what they are. They're perverting God's holy written word. Hallelujah. And though we are an angel preach, though we are an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Amen. That's the Bible. That's not me. I didn't write that down just to, amen, fire things up. I'm just reading the scripture. And as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you, that which ye have pre-received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. That's the Apostle Paul preaching. Hey, there's nothing wrong with the old time religion. Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with the doctrine that the apostolics preached in the book of Acts. It's the only thing that gives this church life. It's the only thing that gives this church momentum. It's the only way we can reach this world is if we're different than the rest of them. If we're the same, what's the point? If we preach the same message, then why are we here? Amen. Why witness? Why evangelize? Why teach the Bible? Say we have nothing to offer. They're looking for something that's different. They're looking for something that's tangible. They're looking for something that makes them feel good. Something that will cause them to lay their head to rest at night. And there's a peace in their soul. Hallelujah. They were unified in their prayer, and they're unified in their message. Y'all spake the same thing. A true apostolic church, regardless of who's the pastor, what the name of the church is, will all preach the same message. Because the apostolic doctrine is not a matter of opinion, or the Lord hasn't convicted me of that yet. It doesn't matter how you feel. It's what does thus saith the word of the Lord. Because we're judged by this book. Amen. Brother Grissom's not going to stand at the judgment seat and say, you can go, you can't, you can go, you can't. No. But the Bible says that the Lord, He's going to open the book, and He's going to see what we have done, what we have said. Amen. Whether or not we kept our word. Hallelujah. We see the doctrine in the New Testament church. Amen. They were a church of prayer. Amen. They knew how to pray. They went from house to house and breaking in bread. Amen. I'm sure there were some prayer meetings along the way. Well, we know of one in particular when Peter was in prison. He was locked up just for simply doing what God had called him to do, preach. And the church was having an all-night prayer meeting. Amen. I remember those days. Anybody remember those? Amen. That's the problem. We remember them. Amen. We need to have them. Hallelujah. Them prayer meetings where you'll pray until the wee hours of the morning and not quit until you feel that burden lifted and your load lighter and you feel like I have touched the throne. Amen. They were a church that knew how to pray. Amen. They were a church that also preached repentance. Amen. We see in Luke 24, the Bible says repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. We know the message that John preached. John the Baptist came thundering out of the wilderness. Amen. Preaching a message of repentance. repentance. He preached a message declaring, turn away from your sins. You see, repentance still works in this 21st century. I know it works because it worked for me. And I know there are many here who have also experienced repentance. Amen. True apostolic repentance. I'm talking about repentance. Amen. Where tears are shed. Repentance. We go through a half a box of Kleenex as you're pouring your soul out to God. I'm not talking about a 2-second quickie so you can have a multitude revival and attach it to your name and what a great prophet you are. I'm talking about true repentance. Amen. Repentance where you hear them across the sanctuary wailing and travailing before God. My father said when he repented for over 2 hours. Some may not repent that long, but for him, he repented for 2 hours. Amen. Whatever it takes, amen, let him repent. Amen. I don't want to try to give them something they're not ready for. You can't receive the Holy Ghost except ye repent. We all know what repentance is, and about face, turning your back on sin. Amen. Turning completely around and going in an opposite direction. Everybody knows what repentance is. We teach it to our children. When they do something wrong, we say, what do you say? I'm sorry. What's that in a sense? Repentance. Amen. It goes a little farther than that, though, when it comes to our spiritual life. Amen. We can't just say, I'm sorry. Say, repeat a prayer. Amen. After me, and you're saved. Amen. Vain repetition will not get you anywhere. You'll just stay in your lost condition. And I'm not about to do that. Amen. We preach repentance. We're saying, amen, repentance. You are completely, you show complete and total remorse for all the things that you have done. You can do it in 10 minutes, 15 hours, 2 hours. Amen. If you have to repent all night, I'm sure somebody will stay with you and pray with you all night. Whatever it takes, because I know this is an apostolic church. Amen. I know that they also preached baptism by immersion in Jesus' name. For we read it in Acts chapter 2:38, after Peter preached on it, the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost, and he preached the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ, the gospel, the good news. They were pricked in their heart. They were convicted, and they began to ask questions. Men and brethren, what must I do to be saved? Amen. That's true apostolic preaching. Will always prick your heart and cause you to ask questions. What do I need to do to change? Hallelujah. And we've got the message that brings true change. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He preached, amen, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The priest baptism by immersion in Jesus' name. We know Jesus was baptized. Amen. The sign to the believers that he was baptized in the name. Amen. He was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River by immersion. Amen. We see Peter. We see other apostles throughout the book of Acts, and even in the writings, they declared and reminded the church, amen, it's in the name of Jesus. Philip baptized the Ethiopian eunuch in a desert. Amen. They found water. Amen. Goes to show how important water is for baptism. The Lord can just miraculously, amen, create an oasis or whatever in the midst of a desert. There it was. Amen. He saw the water and said, what hindereth me to be baptized. And Philip baptized him in Jesus' name. Amen. We all know the name that's above every name. Acts 4:12. Neither salvation any other. No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Hallelujah. We see in Matthew 28:19, baptize them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. That's not a Trinity verse. That's the greatest oneness verse in recorded Scripture. And we know the name of the Father, we know the name of the Son, and we know the name of the Holy Ghost. I'm a father, I'm a son, and I'm a husband. But that's not my name. Those are just titles. Somebody wants to get baptized in the titles. I hope they brought a lunch because they're going to be there a while. We're going to go through all the titles from Genesis to Revelation. There's quite a few listed in Scripture. Why just pick three of them? Amen. Why don't you just say the name of Jesus? You've said them all and saved time. Hallelujah. What kind of a deal is that? When you say the name of Jesus, you have said it all. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, there's no power in heaven and earth except the power in Jesus' name. All power is given me in heaven and earth. The power of the name of Jesus. Not only that, we see the doctrine they preach. They preach the message speaking in other tongues. Amen. Hallelujah. They didn't grab chins and shake them fast and hope when they talked it sounded like it, and that's the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's not the Holy Ghost. You will speak in a language you didn't learn as a child. That's a doctrine of the early church. Amen. They preached separation from the world. Hallelujah. And total, amen, separation unto God. Hallelujah. Separation from the world was a message that they preached. They didn't water it down. They didn't dilute it. Amen. They didn't change the message based on the crowd they were speaking to. They preached the same everywhere they went. The sin will always be sin. Heaven will always be heaven. Hell will always be hell. Amen. See, almost right is always wrong. Almost in is always out. Almost up is always down. Amen. Almost saved is always lost. Hallelujah. You see, he called us out. Amen. He declared, "You are a chosen generation and royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people. You should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into this marvelous light." That's why this church isn't going anywhere. We're built on the right foundation, the apostolic doctrine. This church built on apostolic doctrine. It was made to be an enduring church. It was built to last. We see you, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. It was T.F. Tenney that stated, "Old time religion is well and good, but what we need is now time religion." You see, I'm winding down the apostolic church. It continues as a memorial to the fact, hallelujah, that you cannot bury a move of God. Pentecost fully came, Pentecost continued, and Pentecost is still marching on. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Through persecution, the church marched on. Through the Dark Ages, the Middle Ages, the church marched on. Through the Reformation, the church continues. And now in this end time, his church has remained. Persecuted, yes. Scorned, we've seen it. Criticized and hated. And yet the church has endured. You see, we were designed for this day and this hour. We are what this world needs. Hallelujah. We don't need to adapt. Amen. We don't need to conform. Amen. We are not lost in another time. The gospel, I'm here to say, is timeless. 2,000 years old, but still alive and well. I didn't find anywhere in the book of Acts where there was an expiration date on the church that said best if used by. Amen. The last I heard, amen. There's not even amen at the end of the book. That means that if you were to put an end or a closing, just write to be continued, because his truth is marching on. Amen. The church is still preaching while others do not. Amen. This church will always live a holy, changed lifestyle while others have compromised. This church is still shouting. This church is still dancing. This church will still talk in tongues. This church, amen, well, they've lost their fire, and this church is still baptizing in Jesus' name. Well, they're lost and confused with their confusion of tradition. Amen. The church is still hating sin. The apostolic church is still loving souls and loving the sinner. The church has not gone anywhere. The church wasn't resuscitated in Topeka, Kansas.
Come
it was
on.
Never
yes.
dead. The church was not revived at Azusa Street because it was never dead. In every generation, there's always been a tongue talking Jesus' name, baptized by immersion, holiness, loving church. The church has never been dead. It's never been sick. It's never been tired or anemic. And it never, ever will be. Hallelujah. The apostolic church is relevant to all generations. It's still cutting edge, and it will never lose his power. And should the Lord tarry another 30, 40, 50 years, amen, I close with 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 through 17. What will the Lord find? Will he find a dead church? Will he find a corpse for a church? No. The Bible says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are what? Then we which are alive. Hallelujah. That means there's going to be a church that's alive. Amen. It doesn't matter what they do. There will always be an apostolic church. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. You see, you can't kill the church. The church will never lose its power. It will never lose its momentum. Amen. There will always be the church because he's the author and the finisher of this church. He brought it in, and he's going to take it out on that great reckoning day. Hallelujah. We are in the apostolic church. Amen. The one true blood-bought, amen, heaven-bound church of the living God. Amen. Just how important is, amen, what the apostles preached. Amen. I said from the last verse, but I just thought of another one. Amen. Revelation 21, verse 14. Amen. How important is the doctrine of the apostles? Amen. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You see, the apostolic church is the closest thing to heaven you'll ever find. The church built on apostolic doctrine and heaven. Amen. We see the 12 foundations with names of the 12 apostles. Hallelujah. What a day that will be. Hallelujah. We can live there for eternally. Aren't you thankful you're in the church? Not a dead church, a dried up church, but a holy church that's marching and moving onward and forward. His truth is marching on. Hallelujah. Let's all stand tonight, shall we? Amen. These altars are open. If you're not a part of the church, amen, don't shake Brother Grissom's hand and expect him to say welcome. Amen. You must be born again. Hallelujah. If you're in the church, you can rejoice that you're a part of something that's alive and cannot be compromised. Hallelujah. Let's love Him. We love You, Jesus. We love You, Lord. We're a part of this apostolic church. Hallelujah. We're a part of this glorious church. Lord, we're a part of the church without spot or wrinkle, without blemish or any such thing. The apostolic church is marching on.